Chapter 3. The Right Woman for the Job. The next morning at the factory was very different from usual. The women workers met outside the factory gates. A few of them were writing signs. One said, "Fair pay for a fair day's work." The women talked excitedly. Sandra was showing her new eye makeup to some of the women. "This is a strike, not a party," joked one of the older women. The sun was shining, and it almost felt like a party. The men were still going to work as usual, but a lot of them shouted their support for the women. Eddie stopped on his bike and gave Rita a quick kiss. "Good luck," he told her. When everyone was ready, Rita and Connie closed the metal gates to the machinist's area. Now no trucks could come in or out. "Now they'll know that we're serious," Rita smiled. The women took their places in front of the gate. Rita and Connie were right in the middle. They held their signs proudly in the air. This was their first strike, and they were ready for anything. Nothing happened. Minutes passed and still nothing happened. Work continued as usual in the rest of the factory. No trucks tried to pass through the gates.
"Would anyone like a cup of tea?" said Brenda at last.
"Yes, good idea."
Most of the women put down their signs and went off for a hot drink. Only Connie and Rita stayed in front of the gate. They put their sign down on the ground.
"It's heavy, isn't it?" said Rita.
Manager Peter Hopkins didn't want to make the phone call, but he knew that it couldn't wait any longer.
"Get me Thule," he said into the phone.
A few moments later, an American voice was at the other end of the phone.
"What is it?"
It was Bob Thule, one of the managers at Ford's main office in the United States.
"We've got a problem with the workers here, I'm afraid," said Hopkins. "Another one?" said the American. "Who is it this week?"
Hopkins hated making these calls. He knew that Thule was angry.
"It's the women," Hopkins said.
By late afternoon, it had begun to rain again. Some of the women pulled coats up over their heads. Others ran to find somewhere dry near the factory gate. Rita looked up at the dark skies. What should they do now?
"We've done a full day," she said, "and we've got our message across," she smiled.
"Okay then, we've finished for today. Everyone go home."
As the women started to leave, Brenda turned to Rita.
"Hey, Rita," she said. "Well done."
Rita looked unsure.
"We couldn't have done this without you, could we?"
shouted Brenda as she ran out into the rain. It was still raining when Rita hurried through the center of town. She was carrying several signs, and she was completely wet. As she passed a little cafe, somebody inside knocked on the window. It was Albert. He pointed at the cafe door. He wanted to tell her something.
"Can I have a word?"
"I can't, Albert," Rita began. "I have to get Graham from school and..."
Albert took her by the arm and smiled.
"I'll get you a cup of tea," he said.
"Go on then, just for a few minutes."
When they were at the table, Albert gave Rita a serious look. He spoke carefully. He had thought about this a lot.
"The problem isn't about skilled or unskilled work," he began. "Ford decided to give you less money because they can. They can pay women less money than men. All over the country, Rita, women are getting less because they're women. You'll always come second until
we get equal pay," said Rita.
"I understand."
She looked at Albert.
"But there's something that I don't understand. Why is it so important to you, Albert?" Albert was quiet for a moment.
My dad didn't live with us, he said slowly. My mum worked hard all her life to give everything to me and my brothers. And she earned less than half of what the men in the factory got for the same work. Nobody thought that it could ever be different. Companies have done this for years, and somebody has got to stop them.
He looked into Rita's eyes.
You can change things. You can, Rita. Believe me.
Rita shook her head uncertainly. What about Connie? She's our rep. We voted for her. Albert continued to look right at her.
This needs a leader. It needs someone to explain all the points clearly.
Connie can't do that. Not at the moment. Rita nodded. It was true. Connie had too much to do already. After a full day at work, she had to care for her husband, George, at home.
Don't say anything now, continued Albert. Just think about it, will you?
Rita didn't reply. Albert believed that she was the right woman for the job. But did she believe it? The rain was falling even harder when Rita arrived at Graham's school. She had no umbrella.
Do you want to wait in here?
Shouted a woman's voice from a car by the side of the road. Rita shook her head.
I'll make everything wet.
But the woman pushed the passenger door open.
Come on, quick.
As Rita got into the car, she looked down at all the drops of water from her hair.
I'm sorry, she said.
It doesn't matter, the blonde woman said.
We've met before, in the school a couple of days ago. Do you remember?
Rita nodded, feeling bad at the thought. She had pushed past this woman after her meeting with Graham's teacher. She looked now at the blonde woman's expensive earrings and beautiful red dress. Rita loved the dress. She had seen it in a fashion magazine. She knew that she would never have the money to buy a dress like it. The blonde woman smiled.
I wanted to see you again, she told Rita. I wanted to ask if you would sign a letter. I've complained to the head teacher about Mr. Clark.
You mean you went to see Mr. Clark too? The woman nodded.
He hit my son in class, but when I complained, Mr. Clark didn't listen to a word. You can't talk to him.
Rita nodded. They were from different worlds, but they were both mothers who just wanted to protect their sons.
Okay, she said with a smile. Give me a pen. I'll sign your letter too.